This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
And away we go. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Yo, welcome in. Great to have you. Happy Thursday. Yes, it is already Thursday this week. Just flying by. It's back to football night in America. Got a little NFL football on the television tonight. No baseball this evening, but we did have some last night. The Toronto Blue Jays, now just 27 outs away from claiming their first World Series championship dating back to the early 1990s. You know, we're going to talk a little baseball on the show today.
Wow, 90s. That was a long time ago. I mean, that's like ancient history.
Been there, done that. Yeah, it's a... It is a long time ago. It's a painful long time ago.
Like a quarter of a century? Over a quarter?
Well over that. Wow. Painfully well over that, actually. And we, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about baseball today on the show. Because World Series is both fun and interesting. You can have things that are fun, not interesting. You can have things that are interesting, not fun. It is special when you get fun and interesting. And Treya Savage is a ya savage. How about a rook? How about a guy not just playing in his first World Series, playing in his first year of professional baseball?
I fixed it. What are you doing?
I'm moving and setting my text line up.
Oh, okay. All right. I fixed the thing. And
oh, no,
and
I saw.
Immediately you went and it looked like you were fixing it.
I wouldn't change any changes that the great one made to the show. I want to get our text line up. 844-326-3663, by the way, is the number if you'd like to be a part of the show. You can text it or you can call it.
I apologize for my outburst that interrupted baseball.
You don't, though. Treya Savage last night. This is a cat who I think, especially if A, Toronto wins the game, and B, if Toronto wins the game in seven, and I'll tell you why here in just a moment. This cat is a dude who started off this year in the Jays organization at the lowest level of professional ball.
Is that like below single A?
That is the lowest level of baseball. I am talking about like all the way at the bottom.
Savannah Bananas opponent?
No, Savannah Bananas are not an MLB team.
I said opponent.
No, they are not that. They may at, like those are the teams that like maybe at some point they might actually have like an exhibition game. But you're talking... You're talking about teams that are paying their guys $30,000 a year to play a full season of baseball.
So you're saying he started from the bottom, now he's here.
Triple-A ball, baby. Started from the bottom, now he's here. So this cat started off in Triple-A ball for MLB. And then he worked his way up to Double-A. And then he worked his way up to High A. And then he worked his way up to A ball. And then, with just a few weeks left to go in the season, Treya Savage got called up to the Toronto Blue Jays. And they basically called him up because they needed an arm, effectively. Like, they just needed an arm. They needed somebody that could come chew up some innings, and that was it. And then he gets there, and the dude has been all but lights out. He's had like one, maybe one inning that you could describe as anything less than like really good. So my guy gets the start last night. And the expectation, I think, for Treya Savage was just give us a chance, right? Like, just go out there, Rook. And he pitched game one. And in game one, he was good. He wasn't great. He was good. He was good enough for them to win. But it was kind of a give us enough to win type of performance. So they sent him out back again last night. And they send him out against Blake Snell, who also went in game one. Blake Snell has been nails in this postseason so far. And what does Blake Snell do last night? Blake Snell last night goes out and gives up back-to-back dongs, opening two batters. Schneider, who was filling in for Springer, who is still out with the injury, he goes yard on the opening pitch of the game. Vladdy Daddy Guerrero Jr. comes up number two in the lineup, and he goes yad in his first AB of the night. It's 2-0 Dodgers before a baseball touches grass or dirt anywhere on the diamond. 2-0. And then your Savage comes out. And my guy just starts racking up K's. 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run. The only run allowed was a Kike Hernandez 3rd inning blast. Outside of that, he gave up 2 other hits, no other runs, and he struck out 12 in 7 innings last night. That's the line I expected Blake Snell to have. Snell went 6.2, gave up 6 hits, 5 earned runs, walked 4, K'd 7, and again gave up those 2 blasts to open the game. I am really intrigued by. I am really intrigued by the way that this Toronto Blue Jays team is playing right now. Because I thought Dodgers in 5, to be honest. I thought that series was coming to its conclusion last night, and I thought its conclusion was going to be in Los Angeles with the Dodgers hoisting their 2nd trophy. I'm not going to say, okay, it's Toronto's ball game now. Because I got to tell you, and this is why I love the baseball postseason. I have been, I don't want to say wrong about just about everything, because I got most of the wild card and most of the divisional series predictions correct. But I've been wildly wrong about everything since the championship series. And it's not like prognostications outright. I thought the Mariners were going to get the Blue Jays, better all-around team. Granted, 7 games. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to get some wrong. I thought that the Dodgers would be taking at least 6 games in the NLCS. Completely wrong about that. I thought Dodgers in 5 in the World Series. Love Toronto. They're explosive. But at the end of the day, it just felt like the Dodgers were waking up. Well, they were already awake in these playoffs. But we're waking up even more as we got to the World Series. And instead, the Dodgers last night were just like from the dish. In fact, not even just last night. I would make the argument in games 4 and 5. The Dodgers' bats have just been question marks. They had 4 hits last night. Teoscar Hernandez had a pair of them. Kike Hernandez had the home run. And Will Smith had one. Shohei Ohtani, 0 for 4. Mookie Betts, 0 for 4. Freddie Freeman, 0 for 3. Edmund, 0 for 3. Muncy, 0 for 3. I don't know what happened here. The Dodgers, who are a team that we talked to, I've said 100 times during this postseason. What I've loved about the Dodgers is that they've been getting good enough pitching throughout really this entire World Series. They've been getting good enough pitching throughout this entire run that it did not really matter if the bats weren't electrified, because they were winning all their 3-2 games. They were winning all their 2-1 games. They were beating the Phillies with 3-2, 2-1. They were doing it to the Brewers. They've done it to everybody. And so I came into this series kind of making the assumption the same thing would hold true, that the Dodgers were just going to be able to do whatever they wanted because the pitching was so good. And it's not been bad by any stretch of the imagination, but you go back to game one, the Blue Jays beat them up 11-4. Blake Snell in that game, 5 innings, 8 hits, 5 runs, all earned, 4 strikeouts, took up 100 pitches to get out of 5 innings. Then you go to game two, and it was kind of like, all right, they bounced back. Game one, by the way, and this was the stat that kind of jumped off the page at me. What kind of jumped off the page at me was in game ones where a team swept the league championship series, they're 0-7 in the last 7 in game ones. If you sweep the championship series, you lose game one of the World Series. And that's kind of a spot that I looked at and I'm like, all right, well, if there was ever a team that's going to break a mold here, it's got to be this Dodgers team. They didn't. They didn't. And again, it's the rest versus rust. You know, in football, just about everybody wants the bye, right? Even though it is proven that the bye can screw you up a little bit, you still want the bye. You want the rest. You want the recuperation time. In baseball, it kind of looks like the bye may not be the best thing in the world for you. And this year, as far as the wild card round has gone with the MLB playoff bracket, because the teams that were on the bye, the Dodgers in the National League, the Blue Jays in the American League, have both made it to the World Series. But it does appear that rest can screw up a baseball team. So the Dodgers go out, they get blown out in game number one. They get it back in game two, 5-1. Yamamoto, 9 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 8 Ks. That's the pitching that carried them here. Then they come out and they get game three, 6-5. And that was the 18-inning friggin' marathon. Why were they in that spot? Well, first off, because they went with Max Scherzer off the bump, who got ripped. And then the bats picked him up. It took him a long time to get there, but the bats picked him up. Then you go into game four, 6-2 Jays. Kind of the same story. Like, why did it take so long for them to get there? Ohtani looked mortal. Not only could he not hit in that game, but he got touched up pretty good. 6 hits in 6 innings, 4 runs all earned, K'd 6. But pitching. And then last night, same thing. In a spot where Blake Snell, with the exception of game one, but again, I'm willing to overlook the performance of game one because you were battling a historic trend in that game and you lost to it. It happens. That's why it's a trend. Last night, Blake Snell had an opportunity to go out there and be the Blake Snell that he has been in this postseason and pick the Dodgers up, give them a win, create a world where, yeah, we're on the road for the next two, but we've only got to get one of them. If you lose that game, you got to go on the road to Toronto, which is an absolutely raucous crowd. They haven't had a World Series championship dating back to 1993. That place is going to be absolutely buzzing. And I know that you don't want to hear it, but the political climate, Toronto is absolutely wanting to bring America's pastimes trophy back to their country. That's where we are. So now you got to go, if you're the Dodgers, you have to go to Toronto and you've got to win 2 out of 2. And more importantly, slash worse, Toronto's just got to go back to the crib and win 1 out of 2. And the guys that they are likely going with in the next two have both been good. Both lost, but have both been good. But I'll tell you what I find even more interesting to take it back to Treya Savage. Treya Savage in that game last night threw 104 pitches. I was texting back and forth with a couple of buddies watching this game. And I said at 104 pitches, and on a night where his splitter last night was just filthy, dude. Like last night was the most accurate usage of the phrase falls off the table that I've ever heard of or I've ever seen. Dude was throwing a splitter that would get to the plane and then just, phew, just dunk. Like it was unbelievable. It was nasty. It like my dude was defying the laws of physics with the splitter last night. So Treya Savage goes back into the bullpen now, and while I know it would be a big stretch, off of 104 pitches, if the Dodgers, who have to win two out of two, find themselves in a tight game in Game 7, Treya Savage might be available to come out and maybe like close out the ninth, right? Like, it's Game 7. It's the final baseball game of the year. You can throw any and everything out there to get a win if Game 7 becomes necessary. He won't be available tomorrow in a Game 6. But if it does go to 7, if the Dodgers do steal Game 6, your Savage can come out of the pen and maybe close out Game 9. And if that happens, we're talking a real interesting set of circumstances there. So I am really interested to see what the pitching setup looks like in Game 7 for Toronto with the guys that they have been able to save. Now, again, the Dodgers are in a pretty good spot themselves. The Dodgers are in a pretty good spot right now because Yamamoto did go that full nine. Because even though he wasn't throwing great stuff last night, you did get Blake Snell through 6.1. Like you put them in, you got some length out of these guys, which means that you did not have to lean on your high leverage arms out of the pen all that much, which means that you've probably got a little bit of depth ready for you in Game 6 and 7 as well. I will tell you this. I do not envy the two managers of these two baseball teams in Game 6 and 7. Because, and it always is a chess match for the managers when you get to the final two games of any World Series. It is a chess match, obviously, because you're not worried about longevity at this point. I'm not worried about, I need to make sure I got this guy's arm saved up because we've got another series or two more games in this series. You don't have to worry about that. In these last two games, if you're the Dodgers, you're throwing everything out in Game 6. And if you're the Jays, you have to ask the question, if it is a tight game in Game 6, if it is a one-run game in Game 6, and if it does become obvious that the Dodgers in 6, 7, 8 innings, the Dodgers are going to start throwing their heavy artillery at you, do you counter with your own and take the risk that you lose that game and now you have juiced some of your leverage arms for Game 7? And so have the Dodgers, but now you can't take advantage of that fact. Or if the Dodgers are down one, up one, tied ball game in the 6th, 7th, and they start throwing out their heavy hitters, right? Like they decide we're up one. Let's just go ahead. We're going to take our Game 7 starter and put him out there now. Let's finish this game. Do you wait? Do you hold back? Do you not throw your high leverage guys out there? You say, we're going to save this up because what we're going to do is we might lose this game. We might lose this game, but I'll tell you what we're going to do. We are going to go into Game 7 with all of our bullets chambered, and they're going to go into Game 7 with none of theirs available. I don't know, man. Like, I don't envy these two managers over the next two games, but I do envy all of us who get to watch baseball because, yeah, this is going to be great. It's going to be great. This series is so much better than I thought it was going to be. I really thought it was going to be a steamroll job by the LA Dodgers. I really did, and yet, here we are. All right, we got a lot to get to on the radio program. We are going to talk quite a bit more about the World Series. It is a travel day today, but we do have Game 6 tomorrow, Game 7, if necessary, Saturday in Toronto, Canada. We'll take a look at that, what happened last night, what will happen the next two nights. We got to get some football in here. I do want to ask the question later on in the show. We have said for years sports are supposed to be our escape from real life. I have said many times that while I am not adverse to talking politics in sports, We do try to keep them separate as much as we can. However, what do we do when politics does not inject itself in sports, but when politics kicks down the damn door of sports and says, I'm running you now? Will we have the same keep your politics out of my sports mentality, energy, or is there a spot where maybe you're willing to say, maybe this is good when a political leader individually gets involved? Because there's a situation brewing down in Baton Rouge that I'm real interested in. And we'll start setting up the football weekend. All of that and more rolling on. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Malonzo, and AL. 844-326-3663 is the number to be a part of the radio program this morning. You can text it. We'll read them on the air. You can call it, and we will put you on the air. You're welcome in advance. Talked a little baseball back in segment number one. We are going to circle back around to the baseballing a little bit later on in the show as World Series Game 6 and 7 on the docket for Friday and Saturday night in Toronto, Canada. I love it. I love it. This has been, last year I think we had one of the best postseasons in recent baseball history. And while I don't think that this year's is necessarily overall top to bottom as compelling, I do think this World Series is pretty close. Pretty close. And I think it's absolutely got the possibility of going seven. I think it's absolutely going to be determined by the two managers. This is an absolute chess match that is going to take place in game six and seven. And I'm really excited to see how it plays out. So we'll get back to that a little bit later on in the radio broadcast. But there's plenty of football that we've got to get to. The Atlanta Falcons. I know, obviously, we cover primarily the Carolina Panthers on this station, but I do know there's a lot of Falcon fans out there, as we're about the same distance from there. The Falcons are 3-4. The Falcons are a team that a lot of people, not me, not Lonzo, but a lot of people suspected would be capable of winning the NFC South this year. The belief was that Atlanta, assuming that Michael Penix Jr. wasn't just bad at football, that Atlanta had put together finally enough talent, had assembled enough talent that they would be able to compete. And I think some of that had to do with the fact that Tampa Bay lost their offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, now the head coach of Jacksonville. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that there was belief that enough had changed. And because Atlanta officially hired Raheem Morris and have showed, you know, full faith and trust in him, that would be enough to get him over the hump. But it just hasn't. Atlanta now 3-4. Atlanta is now 3-4. They are third place in that division. They have lost back-to-back games, including to a very dinged up San Francisco 49ers team. And then this past weekend, Lonzo, is Atlanta losing at home to Miami the most embarrassing loss of the season for anyone so far?
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
There may be some more down the road, though.
There might be. But so far this season, I think losing to Miami on your own turf with Miami floundering.
Not only losing, but making Miami look decent.
Yeah. Miami actually looked like a competent football team. And hey, I mean, maybe Miami finds their way back. Maybe we're looking at the end of the year and we're like, damn, how did this team do what this team just did? But I doubt it. So, we do have to point out, of course, that last week against the Miami Dolphins, starting quarterback Michael Penix Jr., starting wide receiver, and guy who decided to announce his arrival in the National Football League this year, Drake London, were both out. Michael Penix Jr. had a bone bruise on the right knee. Drake London had a leg issue as well. Yesterday, Raheem Morris stepped up and said that they believe that Michael Penix Jr. will be back and available for this team coming up this weekend when they take on the New England Patriots on the road. They went with Kirk Cousins last week. It did not go well. This team ended up with, 213 total yards of offense in that game. Penix Jr. was a limited practice participant yesterday. Raheem Morris said after practice that it is a cautionary approach and that they do believe that he will be able to go. Michael Penix Jr. so far this season, 61% completion percentage, 1,400 yards of passing, 5 touchdowns to 3 interceptions, a QB rating right now of 85.2 altogether in the regular season. He is on target right now, assuming he plays every game. He is on target right now to average to get to 3,422, 3,400 yards. 12 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, if his numbers stay consistent. Now, there's the interesting thing here that so far they have played a pretty good lineup of teams. Buccaneers out of the gate, Vikings on the road at Carolina versus the Commanders. The Commanders did have Jaden Daniels in that game. The Bills, the Niners, and the Dolphins. Now they've got, listen to this lineup. They've got to go to New England. They come back, then they go to Europe. And they will play the Indianapolis Colts. Then they're back home to take on the Panthers. They're at New Orleans, at the Jets, Seahawks, Bucks, at the Cardinals, back home for the Rams, and they will end it with New Orleans the first week of the new year. I don't know what to make out of this football team. Because on one hand, you have a guy out of the backfield in Bijan Robinson that I genuinely believe might be the best running back in football. Now, the numbers don't show up for that, but I'm wondering if I need to blame that on Atlanta. And here's why. Last week against the Miami Dolphins, Bijan Robinson got 9 carries, and he got 3 targets out of the backfield. And you can give me the thought that, all right, Rob, Miami was up 7-0 after the first quarter. They were up 17-3 at the half. Like, where would you like him to get more touches? And the answer is anywhere I can give them to him. Anywhere I can give them to him. Bijan Robinson, in my opinion, has done enough on tape. And I told you I had a change in philosophy of how I talk about football on the radio program starting this year. And that change in philosophy is I care about what is on tape. And, you know, my gut feelings factor into it. The intangibles factor into it. I think that, you know, the answers in the locker room, it all factors into it. But at the end of the day, the thing that I am going to base my projections and prognostications are, what's on tape? What are you showing me? Bijan Robinson, as a football player, has shown me, I think he can be Jonathan Taylor. I think he can be Saquon Barkley. Like, I think he could be a 2K rushing guy every year. I think he's that good. And more importantly than that, as good as those two guys are out of the backfield, Bijan Robinson is a better pass catcher and yak daddy than either one of those two running backs that I just mentioned. I don't know what to do with this football team because we will all have fun when there's a narrative about a team that we like to run with, right? Like, we'll all have fun when there's a narrative about a team. And the narrative about Atlanta is they just can't win. But at some point, I have to ask the question why. And it is frustrating because with a lot of teams, it just seems real easy. With Dallas, it's Jerry Jones. That's not a question mark for me. With Cincinnati, it's because they refuse to give Joe Burrow an offensive line that's worth a damn. There's for a lot of teams that just aren't good, it is easy to say why. With my New Orleans Saints, this team isn't good because our general manager is holding us hostage, and the general manager has been the corrupt and I won't use some of the other adjectives I want to because I might bump up against the libel slash slander rules, but has been a lackey for our owner for years to the point that she's not going to fire the guy because if he writes the book, she might go to jail.
You know, Rob, after one thing gets fixed in Louisiana, maybe sights will be turned towards that.
We're going to talk about that coming up in a little while. Old Jeff Landry, he said, we're going to go out and fire. We're going to find us a good coach. I promise you, we're going to find you a good coach for the LSU Tigers. So we're going to get to that for sure. But our GM is the problem in New Orleans, Louisiana. And that's just a fact, right? So with all of that being said, what is the problem with the Atlanta Falcons? They don't draft, like it's not that they draft poorly, I don't think. The guys that they drafted, specifically the edge rushers, Jalen Walker and James Pierce, they've been good. They've been good. I mean, I guess you can question some guys that are later on in the draft, but I would also point out there are very few teams that string together long runs of, you know, sixth and seventh round guys that make an immediate impact. So what the hell is the problem with this football team? Right now, I kind of want to dump it at the feet of Raheem Morris, which is, again, a hiring I didn't understand when it happened. I'm like, all right, let me get this right. You're going to hire the guy that the last time he fired a coach, he made the interim head coach who stepped in and the team did not respond to it. But you're going to bring that guy back and you're going to give him the headset again. And the answer is yes. And I like Raheem Morris as a dude, but like, I'm not there with him as a head coach. And I pointed out after the loss to Miami, the post-game locker room interview that he did with one of the reporters from Atlanta, where he did a speed run of every coaching cliche in like a 1 minute and 15 second clip. He hit every one of them. Well, they were more physical. They wanted us more today. Got to go out there and make good decisions. Got to go out there and execute. We didn't do this. We didn't, like, it was just a speed run of every coaching cliche you've ever heard. And when I started reading up on practice reports for Atlanta yesterday, when I found out Michael Penix Jr. is coming back, and I'm like, okay, can this guy get them back on path? They are 500. They are with a bye week already in the hand, just a half game back of Carolina. They're a full three games back of Tampa, but again, they've already had their bye. They can get that one back. Can they come back to this? And I'm like, I don't know if they can under Raheem Morris, even with Michael Penix and Drake London coming back. Atlanta fans, I'd like to ask you, Is this on Raheem Morris or am I missing something? I like to think I know ball and I can see it. I don't see it. What's wrong with this football team? Falcons fans, love for you to check in. 844-326-3663. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Great Malonzo, and you. 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. We'd love to have you on the radio program this a.m. I want to play a clip for you, and we are probably going to come back to this again later on in the show. And it's for a few reasons. We have said for a very long time that we do our best. It is impossible not to inject politics in sports. They're intertwined. We try to keep the Venn diagram of sports and politics, we try to keep that middle section where they overlap as thin as we can. Because in the world we live in now, politics are just infectious. They're in everything that we do. There is nowhere you can go anymore and completely escape the world of politics. And that includes sports. But we do try to, at least for our 4 hours on the air every morning, try to give you the break that we're all, I think, desperately in need of as best as we are capable of doing. But sometimes it is not that politics is injected into sports, because sometimes politics is injected into sports. Sometimes politics comes and it just absolutely kicks the door down of sports and says, don't really care if you want me here or not. I got the power. Bum, 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 bum. That's what happened yesterday in New Orleans, Louisiana. Now, I told you earlier this week that I think the LSU job, I genuinely think it is the best job for a head coach in the country. I think it is going to pay as much as anybody else is in the country. I think that you have access to more resources than you probably do at most, if not every other school in the country. And the big reason that I've said I think LSU is the best job in the country is because in LSU or in Louisiana, there is no competition for LSU. Kids who grow up going to high school and playing football in Louisiana, they all want to be a Tiger. They all want to be a Bayou Bengal. If you play your high school football in Alabama, you've got Auburn fans, you've got Alabama fans, and a trickle of Georgia fans. If you play your ball in Georgia, it's mostly Georgia, but there's some Georgia Tech kids in there, and of course you're surrounded by Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, et cetera, et cetera. There's competition. South Carolina, you got two schools right here in the state that fight over guys. Forget the inroads that have been laid into this state by teams like Alabama, teams like Georgia. In Louisiana, there is none of that. I was thinking yesterday, like, what other schools have that? And Zoe will be able to speak on this better than me, but like my thought was, does Ohio State have that in the state of Ohio? And I thought maybe, yeah, but I also know that there are some Michiganders in Ohio, just like there are some Ohioans in Michigander.
Up near Toledo, because Toledo is partially in Ohio and partially in Michigan.
Yeah, so I don't even think Ohio State has the monopoly on Ohio. It's probably got more than most states.
What do you consider a monopoly? I mean, how much do you, so it has to be 100%?
I don't think there's a way to objectively define it, like X amount of percent of football. What I know is if you go down to Louisiana and you start going to all the high schools around Southeast Louisiana, you don't find a registering population of fans of other schools. Because, and this is for two reasons. Number one, partially because not a lot of people like move to Louisiana as people who are having and raising kids, right? Like, if you're going to Louisiana, you're moving to New Orleans.
It's not like here and some other state, and Florida, right, where it's a destination to move to.
Right. And for a state like Florida, where it is a population of residents who are having their kids and all that, there's 5 schools down in that state. So it's just a naturally split demographic. Louisiana's not like that. Like, it's just LSU. There's no Bama fans. There's no Auburn fans. There's no Georgia fans, Tennessee fans, Florida fans. It's all LSU kids, which should make the job easy.
There are a ton of colleges in Ohio, but the Ohio State University is the one.
I would agree with that, but I would also say you probably got a lot of people who have moved to cities like Cleveland, cities like Columbus, who maybe bring their fandom from other places, and you got registering fan bases from elsewhere. It's not that way in Louisiana. So, blah, 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 blah. It's the best job in college football, in my opinion. Which means that they should get pick of the litter, and which means that they should get it right more often than they don't. But Brian Kelly was not it. And I told you yesterday, I think the reason for that is that Brian Kelly's just a fraudulent person. He's not a nice guy. He's not likable. He's very self-centered. He's just not a good dude. And I have a theory I'm going to float for you later in the show, which is you can't be an a-hole and be a successful college coach anymore. You can be gruff, but you can't be an outright a-hole. And I'll explain my thoughts on that a little bit later in the show. But yesterday, the governor of Louisiana, and I want you to think about this, in the history of college football, as long as you can remember and think back, have you ever heard of a situation where the governor of the state hosted the board of directors from the school at the governor's mansion to make a decision about the football coach? And then, after the football coach was fired, with the injection of opinion from the governor of the state, the governor of the state then came out and said this. Of course you're not going to play. Now, let me try that one more time, because it's the entire segment
right now.
You are
consistent. At least there's that.
Hey, Jeff Landry, go. Today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Jeff Landry, he is the governor of the state of Louisiana.
Love the accent. I just can't.
That's old Cajun.
Yeah,
accent right
I just.
There. I got members of my family that talk like that.
Yeah, it's just. I thought, you know, I was listening to Harry Connick Jr.
We're going to find a good football coach.
Yeah,
it's. Come down to LSU and coach the Tigers. We're going to find us a good football coach. I got guys in my family that talk like that. All right. So Jeff Landry says, look, Scott Woodward, who is the athletic director at LSU, he says, I promise you, he will not be selecting the next head coach. Now, you also heard the reason why, which is Scott Woodward was the guy who hired Jimbo Fisher to Texas A&M. I do want to point out, because this gets left out of this conversation, I'm not saying it makes it any better or worse, but it gets left out. Scott Woodward was not the guy who gave Jimbo Fisher the extension to his contract that added the $76 million buyout that he got. He was not. He signed him initially to like a 10-year total $76 million deal, which had like a 40-something or young 50-something million-dollar buyout. But then Ross Bjork, who is now Lonzo's athletic director at Ohio State, Ross Bjork was the one who signed Jimbo Fisher to the extension that gave him the highest buyout of all time.
Doing a wonderful job, by the way.
It's not bad. It's not bad. And then I would also point out that Scott Woodward is the guy who hired Kim Mulkey to coach the LSU women's basketball team. That's worked out pretty good. And he is also the guy who hired the LSU baseball coach. That's worked out pretty good. So it's kind of interesting to me that in this spot, the governor of the state of Louisiana straight up said, no, the AD is not going to do the AD's job. He's not, I promise you, the AD is not going to do the AD's job. We don't trust them to hire the next football coach. First off, if you're Scott Woodward and you hear that, what, like, aren't you like, all right, cool, I guess. I guess I'll start looking for a new gig. Like, that's rough.
Or you just sit back, keep your job, hopefully, and let the governor or the committee or whoever it is pick the coach and hope they don't do well.
The coach.
So you can go, see, I know what I'm talking about. They don't.
I don't know.
Worst case scenario, they pick somebody who comes in there and wins a national championship.
So I do have a couple of thoughts about this. The first one is...
Can you say Urban Meyer with that accent?
I gotta think about it. It takes me a minute. In 2 weeks, the weekend before Thanksgiving, the wife and I are going down to New Orleans for a little like long weekend getaway. We're going to take off the Friday, or it's like the Friday before. Anyway, we're going down to New Orleans for like 3 days. And when I come back on Tuesday, I need you to know it'll take me a day or two where I just sound like an idiot. It'll take me a day or two. I've told this before, and this is not a joke. I've been asked before why it is that I say certain words certain ways. Like, why do you say, schedule? Like, why do you say words with certain inflections? There's an actual good reason for that. And the answer is, when I was first getting into radio, when I was at Alarm, when I was not Radio Guy Rob, when I was a baby radioer out there, I had just a trace.
When you were on ham radio or CB radio?
Yeah, back in the day. It was a Tuesday. When I was young and I was getting into the game, there were traces of that accent still left from my family. And the way I trained it out of me was to pick certain words to say, destination. I would say words in funny ways so that when I got to them, it would reset the way that I talked. The problem is, it created a habit that is still around 17 years later. Whatever, not the point. So, the governor of the state of Louisiana held a press conference yesterday, in which he said, and I don't know if this had been said to Scott Woodward, the AD at LSU, but the AD at LSU is not going to do the job of picking the next football coach for the Tigers. It's not his job anymore. Now, what I do find interesting is Landry did not say who is going to pick it. He didn't say we're forming a crack team. We have top men on the job. He didn't say who it's going
to
be.
He did joke that he was going to ask President Trump to do it.
And listen, he's a big MAGA guy. He's a big Trump guy. I get it. You want to a little bit. That's politics. I understand it. I think
your head would literally explode if Trump picked the next coach for LSU.
I wouldn't love it.
What if they won? Well, I mean, you're not an LSU fan, but if you were,
I still wouldn't love it.
What if they won?
No, listen. There is. I've told him before. I got no secret. I got love in my heart for LSU. I do. I got love in my heart for LSU. That's where all my family went. Had I not lived in Florida, and had out of state tuition not been what I had to pay to go to LSU, I would 1,000% have gone to LSU. If we still lived in Louisiana, I'd have been a Tiger. But we didn't, so I'm a UWF Go Argonauts Argonaut. I want to talk more about this because I know we're up against it. But I found a couple of things interesting about what Jeff Landry had to say. First and foremost, I love that the governor of Louisiana stepped in and said, hey, yo, listen, my AD, the AD at this school, he's not going to do the AD thing. That's going to be somebody else's job. Not mine. But he didn't say whose job it is going to be, and I'd be very curious about that. The second thing is, he said, I'm tired of rewarding failure in this country and leaving the taxpayers on the hook, which is all well and good, except for The overwhelming majority of dollars that get paid to a head coach do not come from taxes, even for public schools.
Yeah,
they don't come from taxes.
Some does. And
sure.
If any does, that's still, that's still out of your and my pocket.
As a former resident of and a long-term lover of the state of Louisiana, Jeff, you got bigger problems if you're worried about taxpayer. My guy, you run historically the most corrupt state in the union.
Okay. You got to start somewhere.
This is not where you start, guy.
I don't know.
This is not where you start. You don't start in a spot where taxpayer money funds like 2% of what Brian Kelly gets.
Now I got to go find guy. Where am I going to find that at?
Here's the thought. I don't know how to react to this. Because on one hand, honestly, I don't have a problem with Scott Woodward not picking the head coach. He is 0-2 in the biggest hires of his career. Now, I will also point out that, and I think this is the fun part, he is 0-2 in coaches that I was on the radio for both hires, and both times I went, this isn't going to work. You're not hiring what you think you're hiring. Jimbo Fisher was an okay coach who happened to get Jameis Winston. If Jameis Winston didn't show up, Jimbo Fisher is not a national champion. And he's a quitter. He quit on Florida State. And then you go to Brian Kelly, perhaps the most fraudulent and inauthentic person in college sports, to come down and bring his complete lack of culture to the most culturally sound school in the country. I got no problem with Scott Woodward not picking the coach. I kind of have a problem with the governor of a state going, I'm stepping in to run this thing. You're not a football guy either, Jeffrey. You're not. What are you doing here? All right, we'll talk more about this later on in the show. We got a lot we got to get to, including your water cooler cheap sheet. Now, see, I just did it right. Your water cooler. Do the thing.
Yeah, cheap seats. He was thinking cheap seats. Those don't exist anymore. The Toronto Blue Jays are one win away from their first World Series title since 1993 after a 6-1 win over the Dodgers last night. Rookie Trey Savage dominated, throwing 7 innings and allowing just 3 hits while striking out 12. Toronto had 9 hits, including Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s 8th postseason home run and 4 other players recording RBIs. Game 6 and 7 are Friday and Saturday back in Toronto. The Detroit Lions have signed a 4-year, $180 million extension with edge rusher Aiden Hutchinson, which includes $141 million guaranteed. Hutchinson is guaranteed more money than any non-quarterback in the league. Atlanta Falcons head coach Raheem Morris said yesterday he is optimistic that starting quarterback Michael Penix Jr. will be able to return this week after missing last week with a bone bruise in his left knee. Hour number 2 and the water cooler cheat sheet, I could say it, coming up next right here on The Rob Brown Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.